It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you are here with us. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And what that means to you is that this is a place where you can tune in and you can get some
second opinions, first opinions, third opinions.
And frankly, some great financial advice that will help you make wise choices.
That's our objective.
Yes, we want you to make wise. And the thing about financial planning, everyone's different. Everyone has different goals in life, different family structures or lack thereof, different objectives, different risk tolerance. Things make them comfortable, different excitements.
Different stages in your life where things change. We see a lot of newly divorced or widowed or widowers, the changes in their financial structure. I personally, what I've seen a lot of, I'm 52, is a lot of my relatives are actually approaching me now saying, hey,
because you're getting old, you must be wise.
No, because
they're in the same age. You're like cousins and stuff.
They know what I do for a living, and they're asking financial questions about their retirement.
Because you're 52.
They're about 52.
Oh, God.
Not my age.
Same age. That's what I was
saying. Similar ages. And they're saying, hey, do you think I will be able to retire in 10 years or 12 years or 6 months?
It's funny. I had a cup of coffee with somebody this last week.
All right.
And I said something about, forget exactly what it was, retirement. I think maybe I might have said that I have no intention of ever retiring. He says, well, no one retires anymore. And I said, well, actually people, no one retires anymore.
We have clients that retire all the time.
Oh, they don't know and retires anymore. Okay then. How's the coffee?
Does that mean that person wasn't going to be able to retire, so therefore no one retires?
I think actually his perspective was that in the world today, the concept for most people that I'm going to work 30 years, stop, and have a pension and not have to worry about things, those days are gone for most people.
That's true.
Unless you retire from a government job or a company that you were fortunate enough to have a pension, which those are few and far between anymore, your retirement's going to be much more challenging than it was 30 years ago.
Yes.
That's reality. And we're living healthier.
Longer lives.
And longer.
I think people most certainly are going to be working longer.
By and large, I think for most people kind of...
And if you talk to most people, it isn't something that many people want to work longer. They just want more flexibility in their works. They want more autonomy.
I think you're right there. Anyway, so our point with financial planning is what we try to do is help people with what they're trying to accomplish.
Get to
their
goals.
That's what we do during the week, and on the weekends we do here on the radio program as well. If you'd like to be part of the program, you can join us at 916-921-1530. Again, that contact number to be part of the program, to call us, is 921-1530. You can also send us a question at moneymatters.com. And some week we take a bunch of questions on the email, and some weeks we don't as much. But
of them today.
We'll make sure we stack
of questions.
Just stacked up, man.
It's like cordwood.
My wife was trying to get me to go to a thing of stacks, like pancake breakfast this morning for something. I don't know what it was. I think it was something at the high school or something.
To go this morning to a pancake breakfast?
Yes.
Did you go?
No.
Why would you not go? Make her happy. How hard could it be?
Make my wife happy?
Yes.
I went to something last night. I went to some fundraiser thing with her last night with the auction things, and they were closing every 5 minutes for all these different tables. And I thought the auction was closing at 8:45, and then I found out every 5 minutes another table closes, so you still have time to. And I sat there quietly, Pat.
Okay.
Till 9 p.m.
Oh, you are truly a saint.
Till they were all closed.
And?
Then we went home.
Oh, so you didn't have to stay for the dinner or anything like that?
It was a kind of a shorter thing, so I shouldn't complain too. So my point is,
oh, that's awesome.
You're wanting me then to get up this morning and go to the pancake breakfast.
A good husband.
And have a stack of pancakes, which I get the sugar rush from all the carbs and the syrup.
Oh, poor Scott. It would have been a good husbandly thing to do. I would have done it. That's all I know.
So yeah. Some of the stack of emails became my lack of pancake breakfast this morning. Although I'm sure the pancakes were lovely, I'm just not a big pancake guy.
You know, how could you?
There's all the sugar. It's like eating a donut. I love the taste, but about an hour later, every time I have
a pancake, I always think, "Look at the margins in
jitters,
this thing."
Not the shivers. The what?
The margins, the profit margins in a pancake.
There's no money. It costs almost nothing to make a pancake.
I know. You've got to be like a 90-some-odd% profit margin in a pancake.
You should open,
I don't want to open.
Pancake shop. Pancakes.
Just pancakes.
No, we don't have bacon and eggs. Those eggs, particularly now with the California legislation on the cages, the age prices are through the roof. We can't afford the eggs and the pigs. You don't want to slaughter the pigs. Just pancakes.
That's the name of the restaurant.
Just pancakes.
All right, let's take some calls. 921-1530, area code 916-921-1530 if you'd like to join
this
show.
And let's start off with Richard. Richard, you're with Hans McLean.
Yes. Good morning. How are you guys today?
I think we've got an issue with the phone here, so hold on a second until we get Richard on back, because I don't know if I'm pushing the wrong buttons, but I can't seem to click up Richard and, so before that, Pat, while Richard's on hold, we've got a stack of emails that have come in. And so I want to address one of these things. And this is actually kind of a common thing. Here's somebody reaches us and asking about their mortgage. The question is this: should I pay off my mortgage? It's about $60,000. I've got 10 years left on it with an interest rate of 4.375%. I have other cash, but this would substantially deplete my emergency reserves. I do have some other assets and would have ability to access that cash elsewhere. So here's the thing. As the mortgage balances get less, typically the interest paid on a mortgage is one of the highest itemized deductions. Right, Pam? Mm-hmm. For people on the
correct
tax return.
But the closer you get to the standard deduction, the less value the itemized deduction has.
That's exactly it. So what's the standard deduction? It's around 10 or 11 grand for a married couple, somewhere right in there. Don't quote us on the exact number. But let's say it's just for argument's sake. Let's say the standard deduction, which, by the way, the majority of Americans take, the standard deduction is $10,000 for a married couple. If your standard deductions are $10,100, that means you're really not getting much benefit for the interest you're paying and the state income taxes you're paying. Very little on it. So when you're at a point where your mortgage balance is $60,000 and your interest rate is a little over 4%.
But we don't know a lot else about this person. We don't know what he pays in state income taxes or any other things. But from what this says and the little we know about Robert, you most certainly should consider paying this off. Now, you say, it would leave you with almost no cash. What you can do is pay down $40,000 and continue the same payment schedule and therefore shorten the length of the loan.
Yeah, it's an interesting time right now because interest rates keep getting lower on mortgages. So interest rates is pretty low and people say, man, look how low this interest rate is. Well, if you are a disciplined investor, you're maximizing your 401ks, you've got a lot of money that's invested properly, then maybe it's great to keep that mortgage. But if you're like at retirement time and you've got a bunch of cash sitting in the bank earning 0.000 nothing, right?
Then it's relative.
And you're paying 4.75% on a small mortgage.
Why would you do that?
Either take the money that's in the bank and go invest it somewhere or take the money and pay off that mortgage. It doesn't make sense to keep
the
cash.
And in this situation, you would pay off the mortgage. It doesn't make sense to take money from your 401k or IRA in a lump sum to pay off the mortgage because of the tax ramifications on the withdrawals.
I was running with a friend this morning. He's a banker, been in banking and lending for years. And with Europe, there's not only there's some governments whose interest rates on some of their bonds are negative. There was, in the last few weeks, there was a corporation that issued a bond at 0%.
Wow.
So I said to him, I said, the funny thing is, for years I've been saying, I'd say something like, well, it's not like rates are going to go negative.
And now they have. In some parts of the world.
There are investors that are saying, just give me...
back my money. Maybe a little less.
I'll take a little bit less because I don't know what else to do with my cash. And if you're in a situation with a bunch of cash and you've got debt outstanding that you're paying an interest on, it's kind of a...
it makes sense to pay it off.
Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense to pay it off. We're taking a quick break here, and when we come back, we will we'll get the call thing figured out here for sure. 921, so please give us a call if you've got a question for us. 921-1530 is the number, or... send us an email, questions@moneymatters.com. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting their website at HansonMcLean.com. That's Hanson McLean.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us on this weekend. And
taking calls, 921-1530, financial questions.
Pretty exciting. Wake the kids, call the neighbors.
It is good times. Good times.
You know, I actually like this. You know what I like about spring?
I give up. Tell me.
That's why my wife says, hey, why don't we have a couple or two over for dinner tonight, early dinner, because the days are later.
Is that what you do?
That's what we're
going to
do.
You bragging you have friends? You're making fun of me.
They're not friends. I said find some acquaintances.
Some other people.
I think she gets tired of just hearing me all the time. Our youngest is 17, so it's not like we have kids in the house that want to talk to us.
My kid. Well, we're getting the lawn furniture out today.
You're getting it out?
Mm-hmm. We put it away for the winter.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I leave mine out all year long.
I know.
And then when the winds come and...
they blow everything over?
Yes. As a few weeks ago, I had to move.
I said that
back.
Old joke. What's Irish and stays out all night long? Patio furniture.
Oh, that is bad.
Terrible.
That is a pretty stupid joke.
Oh, it's awful.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Richard. Richard, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Wonderful, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Another beautiful day in Southern California.
Oh, is that where you're calling from?
Indeed.
Whereabouts are you down there?
Just north of L.A. a little bit.
All right. I grew up in Torrance, so I know.
Okay.
What can we do for you, Richard?
Well, I might have a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Fire away.
I'm an aerospace engineer. I've been laid off now 1.5 years.
Oh, boy.
I have roughly $282,000 in my 401k. In making no money, my tax level, if I were to remove money from that 401k, would certainly be less than had I still been employed.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I can't get around the 10% penalty.
How much money do you have outside of the 401k?
Well, in cash or assets?
Cash.
About $2,000.
Okay. That's why
And how old are you?
42.
Okay.
What? So you've been out of work a year and a half, specialized career in aerospace. Is the industry, aerospace industry, having some downsizing a bit right now?
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
I have applied so far for over 120 applications.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Truly. You know, that is...
very wide base of experience, but just haven't found the right spot.
And are you willing to move for your job?
That's possible, yes.
Okay.
I've been predominantly searching on the West Coast.
Yeah.
In the Northwest and the Southwest.
What income do you have right now?
Nothing.
Okay. And so what's your question for us?
I spoke with my company, still maintains my former or my 401k plan, and I called and asked for some information about perhaps changing that over to an IRA, which a 401k is essentially another type of IRA.
Kind of, yeah.
He recommended that would be easier for me to pull money out of. I'm not sure that...
All right, so, yeah, you know what? This makes sense. So here's what happens. They have the same tax implications at the end of the day for a 42-year-old.
Which means whatever money you pull out is considered taxable income.
And a 10% federal penalty, and in the state of California, an extra
1%. 2.5%.
I'm sorry. 2.5. But for you... what happens is if you pull the money from the 401k, they're automatically going to withhold 20% for taxes. And it has nothing to do with your true tax liability is. It's just what they withhold.
I see it. I can gain that back in how I do my taxes.
That is correct. Or you could take it from an IRA. You take your 401k and move it to an IRA, and it doesn't have those same restrictions. You get to decide what the tax withholding should be, if any at all.
And you can also decide on the frequency. You can go in every day and take a couple bucks.
So in your situation, it makes more sense if you and I could hear it in your voice, you don't want to tap the 401k, but that's where you're at. Move the 401k to an IRA and then do the withdrawals from that, recognizing you're going to have to pay taxes.
Are there any other assets you can tap right now?
Yes, I have several of my vehicles or collector cars, hot rods, or that equivalent. I've got one of them for sale at a highly reduced price, and it hasn't been turning. It's been for sale on and off for about a year.
What's the value of all your automobiles?
About 120.
Yeah, see, the problem is, Scott, is you don't know whether he's going to go back to work in a week.
Right.
In a month?
Any other options as far as places to get cash?
Well, I have always said before I left my company, before I got laid off, I was going to make a sign that said, "We'll engineer for food." They hustled me out of there faster than I can print the sign off, so that didn't work.
So that's
this is going to be a temporary thing. Obviously, at some point in time, you're going to find a job. I hate seeing retirement dollars used prior to retirement. I mean, I always consider them sacred dollars. But you know, you're 42. You've actually done fairly decent
jobs. Yeah, you've saved.
Savings.
You're a great saver. It's almost like you're an engineer. engineers, listen, I'll tell you what. Engineers, by and large, are good savers.
Yeah, because they can. It's easy to they plan things.
That's how their mind thinks. I would take the money from. I'd keep the one or two cars for sale, and I would take that money from the IRA.
And just take what you need on a monthly basis.
Yeah, on a monthly basis, right? Don't take any more than you need. And then I would withhold taxes on it, depending probably 10% federal and 5%.
Depending, right. you have no other income right now?
I'm sorry?
You have no other income right now?
No.
Okay. And then I just take it as a needed basis. And then here's a planning opportunity if it takes you a while to get a job. But if later on in the year, if you don't get a job till later in the year, it actually might make sense to look at some Roth conversion in the year of 2015.
I wouldn't even go there with him.
Let's find a job.
Get a job and move the money into an IRA. Like the gentleman of the 401k said, move it to an IRA and take the distributions out on a monthly basis as you need it.
Right.
All righty.
And I'll, that sounds perfect. Okay. I just wanted to be sure that I was making sense.
Yep, you you are.
It's not the best thing to do, but that's where we are.
It's where you're at.
I have to push my plan of buying a Lamborghini a little bit later.
Well, there we go. Actually, most engineers can't get themselves to buy Lamborghinis either. So
well, they don't know what I know. But
there we go.
Appreciate the call.
You got it. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Yeah, we wish you well, and hope you get a a job soon. It is a challenging environment for many people. I had a good friend that was out of work for almost exactly a year, MBA from a prestigious school, same company for 17 years.
Really?
And I think sometimes as you mature in your profession, you become more and more skilled.
And specialized.
Yeah. And so it's just a challenging
that's sad.
Job market for a lot of people. Yeah, it really is a big problem. All right, let's continue on here. 921-1530 to join the program. We're talking with Gene. Gene, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Gene.
Yeah, this is Gene. I'm 76 years old, and I'm a retired teacher with LA Unified. I belong to California State Teachers Retirement.
Okay.
I've been paying into Social Security from the 1950s through the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I kept getting postcards from them. You're going to get $800 a month.
Yep.
You're going to get $1,000 a month.
Yep.
And then I became eligible for, I retired and became eligible for state retirement and Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Social Security office, and they said you won't get a penny because it would be double dipping.
Well, I don't know what they call it. They might have used the word double dipping, but it's your CalSTRS benefit, State Teacher Retirement System benefit, is integrated with Social Security.
Yeah. It's the windfall elimination provision.
Oh, I thought Social Security was federal and
But when they calculate the benefits, they take both into account. So it's windfall elimination provision. Right, did you apply for any Social Security when you're in your 70s, 60s?
I applied when I was 65, and they told me no. And I'm a determined person. I went back three times. So finally they gave in and decided to give me a benefit. I get right now I get $151 a month. Out of that, they take out, I think, $51 for Medicare. So I get $101 deposited to my account every month. That's not even minimum wage, you know. And I really don't know what to do. I keep hearing about your fair share and all that.
I don't know what that means.
Well, this current regime keeps talking about
it. I don't know what that means. I don't know what my fair share means.
No, I don't either, but they seem to be throwing that around a lot.
What's your pension from being a teacher?
How much do I get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$3,500 a month.
Well, so that's what that's what it comes down to. So when you were a teacher, you were not paying into Social Security, right? You were paying into...
No. I had paid for I have more than my 40 quarters in.
That's correct.
But see, the way Social Security works, though, there's also... It's not that... It's what you contribute has an impact on what you receive, but it's not necessarily a dollar-for-dollar formula. So if you say, well, I started working at 15, and I've been contributing until age 70, and here's how much I contributed, so therefore there's maximum amounts that are attributable.
So the reality is
not only that, it's highly skewed to the low-income people.
So your Social Security, what they're paying you is correct. It's just the provision in the law, and it had to do with what contributions both you and your employer were making to Social Security as well as CalSTRS at the time that you were employed. That's where the formula came from. That's why they integrate the two.
Whether you like it or not, that's
another
thing.
It's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, it verges on socialism or communism, where you give people what they need, not what they earned or what they deserve.
Oh, no. Gene, your contributions into Social Security are reflected in your pension. They integrate the two.
No, what I'm saying, and you said you receive according to your need. If they decide that you have money coming in,
you didn't say that.
And your need is less.
No, I didn't say that.
No, that's not our.
I thought that's what.
No. It has nothing to do with your need. It has to do with what was contributed on your behalf, both by you and your employer. So they integrate the two together, the Social Security and CalSTRS. So it's correct.
It is a challenge because, and it's a challenge for people that are teachers today or have the integration today because they receive these statements from Social Security and they say, oh, look what the statement is telling me. And they think that that's what they're going to receive.
And it makes planning difficult when we sit down with clients because you don't really know what it is until you do it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the call, Gene, and thank you for your service to the young men and women of America. He was teaching when I was in school.
Were you part of the LA Unified School District?
I lived in West Covina until I was in the
sixth
grade.
Was that the LA Unified School District? No, was it?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It's something to keep to think about. If this has impacted you, the windfall elimination provision, it's a thorny thing, and it makes retirement planning difficult. We got to take a quick break. 921-1530 is the number. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
You know, it's Social Security is an interesting beast. It's obviously a social program, Social Security. Based on the needs, it was a little topic came at the end of last hour. There's a good chance in the future
that it will be needs based.
Yes.
As he said on the call before, well, it's almost socialist because it's based on your needs. It's not based on your needs now.
But here's how it does work.
It's partially based on your needs now.
Because here's...
They tax some people on it and not others.
As you contribute, the benefits are highly skewed to low-income people. So you take somebody who makes $20,000 a year, and what they contribute, 6.2% to Social Security... And their employer contributes 6.2% of their Social Security. Okay, that sum is $20,000 a year. You take someone else who's making $100,000 a year. They are contributing 6.2% of their pay to Social Security, and their employer contributes 6.2%.
Five times as much.
So you've got the person with high wage five times as much as the person with low wage.
The benefits that are paid out
are not five times as much, not even close. So the higher your income, the less percentage of that income is going to be replaced by Social Security, highly skewed towards lower income people. That's, I think, the social part of it. Like that or not like that, that's the way the program is. But we've got great underfunding of Social Security. And if you are a retiree or just, let's say, you're a few years away from retirement with a huge income, let's say you're Bill Gates.
All right.
There's a chance at some point in time Congress is going to say, I don't think Bill Gates needs Social Security.
Actually, they're trying to...
Warren Buffett may not need Social Security. And they might say, well, if they don't need Social Security, maybe we just don't pay out
Social Security. The line is drawn. But the question is, where's the line?
Well, I don't know. But there's a Republican senator from Oregon who wrote about needs-based in the Wall Street Journal several months back. I mean, so when it's coming from both sides,
it's going to happen.
It's at some point in time, we think it's going to be there. Anyway, enough about that. Let's take a call from Edie. Edie, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi there. You had somebody call and say they were a steady listener. I'm a steady listener for 19 years.
Well, thank you, Edie. And I believe you called in the past. We appreciate that, too.
Yes, I have. I have a question about financing solar energy. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of deals out there, but the one that I'm wondering about, apparently Sacramento County and other counties have a deal where somehow it's charged to your, the financing or the cost of it is charged to your property tax. Can you tell me how that works?
I cannot.
Okay.
I have solar. I paid for it out of pocket. I'm hesitant to get too involved in this because every time we answer a question on solar, I get the nastiest
emails from some solar salesman.
And actually phone calls, too, from some solar salesman because I didn't advocate for whatever position their company happens to be promoting at the time, whether it's a leasing or a straight-out purchase or a financing. What it comes down to at the end of the day, is the cost of money. That's all it comes down to, right, is the cost of money. And whether the deduction makes any the government subsidy makes more sense to you than someone else. So what happens is when they separate those two, and solar is being subsidized by the government. I mean, that is
and multiple areas.
That is an absolute fact. Sometimes that subsidy in terms of a tax credit is worth more to someone else than it is to you. So oftentimes when you're leasing a unit, you do not get that tax credit. Those tax credits are bundled up and sold off to someone else, mainly corporations.
Let me tell you what my thinking is. If my electricity bill is, as I average it over 12 months, is $200 a month. Let's say it saves me $100.
Okay.
Solar. So that means there is $100 that I'm accustomed to budgeting that can go into the cost of the solar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say 30%, and I know that that's 30% off the solar, not off your whole tax. You get a 30% credit.
Yeah,
that's correct.
At the end of the year when you do your taxes,
which is a credit. It's just like having a check that you apply to the government for your taxes. It's a credit, not a deduction.
Then, if that is attached to your property tax, my property tax is about $2,400. If I attach that $1,200 that I've saved.
One's a federal tax credit.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with your property tax. The property tax is just a way for them to collect the dollars.
Well, this is apparently some deal they have with the county that it can be attached to the property tax.
Correct. The payment mechanism can be attached to the property tax, so it follows the property and not the owner.
Yes, right.
Right. But it doesn't have anything to do with your federal tax credit for income taxes.
Okay.
So how much does the solar system cost?
Well, I don't have it yet. Somebody's coming out this week. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it.
Yeah, don't confuse the two. What happens with that property tax is you actually permanently affix essentially that the solar to the property itself, and that's the funding mechanism.
And what I'm wondering is it the cost of the solar after the 30% deduct credit plus interest.
Uh-huh. That's correct.
That goes on to your tax bill.
That's correct. That's correct. There's a cost of money there. But
okay.
So what at the end of the
I think that I would get the tax bill that your property tax out of the equation.
You're going to get the nasty phone calls now, Scott.
No, because she's trying to figure out what's going to be the best thing financially.
And the best thing financially is what tier in terms of electrical usage are you, right? So the higher you go into these tiers, I've got four kids. We burn a ton of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't know what's wrong with my kids, but apparently they can't leave a room without leaving a light on.
I put some of those motion detectors in the closet so that they go off automatically.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. Handyman.
Well, you know, I didn't personally. I paid the handyman to do it.
So if you're at the highest tier, the solar has more benefit. If you're the lowest tier of electricity, it has less benefit. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have it. It just means your math needs to be better.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then it all gets down to, you know, how am I going to finance this? Is it going to be lease? Is the credit more important to me? What you probably should do, and it's a highly, highly, highly competitive field.
Right.
Solar is a highly competitive field. It might make sense for you to get two or three bids and then see which one is the best for you.
I would not want to talk to them on a monthly payment. I'd want to talk to them at overall cost. Because what they're going to do is say, well, how much is your average PG&E bill or whatever it is, your average electricity bill over the last year has been $200 a month. So if this saves you $100 a month and it costs you $90 a month, you're ahead $10. Sign here, press hards, three copies.
And
right?
Edie, so, I mean, do you have the money in the? Do you have money in the bank, like a check?
Well, it would have to come out of my IRA, and there too is another rub. If I take too much out of the IRA, it bumps me into another tax bracket.
Yep.
And so then I'm paying. You know, I'm not making anything.
Well, a lease may be the right thing to go, depending on what the lease.
Or
rate
financing
is.
May be the right thing to go, depending upon the financing. But you actually. Edie, you will make the correct decision for you because you're smart enough and you actually understand money well enough.
Right.
The mere
right.
fact that you just said I'm worried about taking more money out of my IRA to drive me into higher marginal tax rate right. tells me, yeah, you'll make the right decision. So thank you for listening. Thanks for being a longtime listener of this show. You started when Scott Hansen had a head of hair.
Hey.
And I followed you all over your different time slots.
Oh, thank you.
I think we've been on this time slot for a while, haven't we? It feels like
I don't know. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Have a good
thanks
rest
for your help.
Good rest of the weekend. Still had a hair.
2019 years ago.
It has been working with you for these 19 years that I've made my hair
that
fall.
Right?
Apart. I'm pulling it out.
You don't see my
so
hair
so
falling
crazy.
Out? A big head of hair there.
You haven't lost any.
I lose a little.
How you have not? Look at that.
Right there.
Go. Give me a break. How old are you now?
52.
52. Does your dad still have a full head of hair?
Not as much. 76. My brothers do, but they're graying. I think I'm getting gray too. But I was my daughter was asking me that the other day. She goes, "Will you get gray, Dad?" I go, "No, it'll be a big white shocking thing of hair." Because most redheads don't get gray; they get white.
It'll be white.
It'll be big
we
white.
We can't be working together then. You could be like a Santa Claus when you're older. You should start the beard now.
Right now.
It'll take you some time. I could see you in a
big
Santa suit.
I couldn't think of a worse.
Have a little kid sitting on your
I
lap
I could
at
not
Christmas time.
Think of a worse job.
I mean, Santa Claus? You had a lot of bad jobs, too, when we went through your teenage jobs years ago.
Although I did like the movie Bad Santa. That really wasn't that good.
Okay. We got to take a break. 921-1530 if you'd like to call into the program or questions at moneymatters.com. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McClain have been airing Hanson McClain's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McClain. Hanson McClain Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McClain understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McClain's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McClain's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting their website at HansonMcClain.com. That's Hanson McClain.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hines.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
I almost didn't even say my last name right. Oh, how many times have I said that?
What's that?
Huh?
Yep. Now you know.
Huh?
There we go.
Right.
Let's take calls, questions, comments, concerns, emails. 921-1530. Area code 916-921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530.
We thought we'd take this question that was emailed in on a tax refund because the majority of Americans do receive tax refunds. actually with the transfer of taxes through the child tax credit and the earned income credit.
The transfer of taxes, that's a political statement there, Mr. Hansen. The transfer of wealth.
Just, my son is 17. He's highly into politics. He loves this
stuff.
He's trying to go to Georgetown this summer for a summer program. He's involved in youth and government and all these things. He eats the stuff up. And so he'll come up with, we had a discussion about the minimum wage, and the minimum wage needs to be raised because of this and that. But he hasn't really thought through all these opinions. He gets the opinion from someone, and it just sounds good, and he kind of, yeah, I like that idea. And where do you think the money's going to come from?
So you send him to bed without dinner till he...
Oh, I smack him around a couple
comes
times.
Comes up with the right political statement.
Yeah, and I think the other night it was, it should be everyone's mandatory pay for 12 weeks for maternity or paternity when there's a baby born. And why do we stop at 12 weeks? Anyway, it's interesting having some of these discussions we're the only country in the Western. I said, I don't want to be like most of the other Western countries. I like the way America is. So you want to compare yourself to Europe? I don't want to be Europe. Last place I know. I mean, not the last place. Anyway, it's why did I start talking about this?
Well, somehow this child tax credit thing is.
Oh, it was at the tax refund. Well, 47% of Americans pay no federal income taxes.
Okay, so what's the question?
So the question is, why is that way? Why do we have a progressive tax? Okay, so the question is this. I'm expecting a tax return this year. I want to apply.
Tax return or tax refund?
I'm reading the question.
Okay.
I think that was a refund.
Okay.
I want to apply it directly to debt. In what order should I do this? I have, number one, a 30-year fixed mortgage at 5.25% with 23 years left. I'm hoping to refinance it when I get a building permit for small remodel, whatever that means. Second thing, I've got a home equity line of credit. Was frozen in 2008 at 4.99%. Slightly less than the 30-year mortgage. And a third, I have a loan against my 457 through work. It's $340 per paycheck with 72 payments to remain.
Wow.
That's a big 457 loan.
Yeah. 6 years, $25,000.
Here's why I thought this was an appropriate question to take. On tax refunds. First of all, when you get a tax refund, if you have some consumer debt out there, work on getting that thing paid. No question about it. The 457, we are not big fans of loans on retirement accounts. Because when you take a loan on a retirement account, it's not like taking a loan on a house, right? So let's say you have a house worth $300,000. Let's just assume for a minute you have a home with $300,000 that's paid for, and you decide to take a $100,000 loan off that and go invest somewhere. The home, you still have $300,000 worth of real estate that you own.
That's correct.
That is going to increase or decrease with the market, and you're betting long term it's going to go up in value.
You still have leverage on it, but the whole asset is working.
On the other hand, let's say that you have a 401k with $300,000 or a 457 with $300,000 on it, and you borrow $100,000 from that plan. I think the limit's $50,000, but let's go with my example here. $50,000. When you borrow the $50,000 from your 457, the plan administrator goes and sells $50,000 worth of assets.
And gives it to you.
You don't have $300,000 balance with a $50,000 loan against it. You now have a $250,000 balance with $50,000 that you owe. So, in other words, you're not levering the same way you would lever on other assets, real estate, or even for that matter, so, a margin loan against stocks. That's the first reason we don't like for retirement loans, 457 or 401k loans, or 403b loans, is because it reduces the amount working for retirement.
So the answer to your question is?
The second reason we don't like those is because if something happens and there's a change of employment, that loan is due immediately. Sometimes they get a 30 or 90-day grace period, sometimes maybe up to a year, but the fact is, it needs to be repaid. If it's not repaid, it is a taxable event to you. If you're under age 59 and a half,
55.
Or age 55, because it will be triggered a 10% federal penalty, and the state of California whacks you another 2.5% penalty. Those are two of the reasons.
No, but Scott.
Thirdly.
No. So Scott. So what you want to do is take this money and actually pay down that 457 loan. If you were sitting in my office, I would actually look at this 30-year fixed rate as well as the HELOC and the loan that you have on your 457 plan and see if there was enough equity in the house to refinance all three of these into a low rate.
Super low rate.
3.5% fixed rate, 30-year mortgage. And we could determine to amortize it over a shorter period of time, but it would get rid of that loan on that 457. You say that you're waiting for a permit on a small remodel. I wouldn't wait for that. I would just look at it now to see if I could actually refinance this, the 30-year fixed rate on the primary mortgage, the home equity line of credit, as well as wrap in that 457 loan in there. And then this would actually, you would benefit from sitting down with a qualified advisor that it wasn't trying to sell you a big old fat life insurance or an annuity. Someone that actually really was interested in helping you as
or
a person.
Or some non-traded
REIT or some other garbage or
type of
indexed annuity or some other garbage like that.
Anything with a big commission on it.
You would benefit from actually sitting down with a qualified financial advisor for
Definitely.
Some
Wish
good, solid advice.
921-1530 if you want to call in. We have time for a couple more calls there. Let's talk with Brian. Brian, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Brian, you're calling from Tahoe. What part of Tahoe?
Oh, well, actually, I live in Folsom. I'm just up in South Tahoe.
Got it.
At the cabin for the weekend.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
How can we help?
So my question is kind of a general one, and I know you probably need to know more about detailed financial situations, but how do you know that the person who's managing your money is meeting or beating market expectations year over year? You know, we met with our guy this past year. You know, the rate of return that we got on our investments was 3%, which was very disappointing. And,
yep.
And he admitted so.
Yep.
And he admitted so. But how do I know that, you know, I guess I would like to find out the process of going through and understanding.
So there's a couple. That's a great. This is a great question, Brian. There's a couple ways to look at things. First of all, I think it's looking at is the portfolio designed long term to meet your objections, right? Objectives. Because if you look back just a few years ago when the S&P 500 fell 55%, there was for many people that period that they went through caused tremendous angst in their life. And there are a lot of people that threw in the towel on their investment portfolio and made changes at that time.
And oftentimes, not for the better.
No, not for the better.
They lowered their equity exposure.
So typically, when an advisor works with somebody, they design a portfolio that's going to weather out whatever storms come their way. And with that, sure. There would be both U.S. Stocks as well as foreign stocks, bonds, U.S. Yeah. bonds, foreign bonds as well. I think what a challenge last year, and I just was reading a report from a major foundation. The average foundation last year, their returns were somewhere in the 3% range. And it's because a big pull down on accounts last year was what happened with the dollar. The dollar rallied like we hadn't seen in 20 some odd years.
So if you had international exposure, you were hurt by
so
that.
So I think your question is what index is a fair index for me to be looking at to see? You want to make sure that you're not underperforming all the other indexes out there, so you're not taking advantage of the...
So Brian, when you say this, here's what I hear. My portfolio did not do as well as the U.S. stock market.
And how
market.
Did it do the previous couple of years?
Small percentage points better.
Okay.
And were you with the advisor... Were you with the advisor in 08, 09?
Yeah. And, you know, we managed to get through that without getting beat up, you know. So, you know, that's why, you know, I'm holding faith with this guy. But at the same time, you know, we're contributing between our 401ks, my wife and I, $70,000 a year between 401ks and investments that we're putting away, you know. And so I'm trying to think down
well,
the
then,
road, 3%, right?
I would say... 3% was not a great year last year, obviously.
But ask the advisor to compare himself to or herself to a benchmark that is consistent with how your portfolio is diversified.
Do you have much index in your portfolio, or is it all actively managed funds?
Index. You know, part of the discussion he had with us is, you know, look, this you want to be in between of where the Dow's performing and where the bond market is. you know, somewhere inside of that range in this past year. You know, where now more were the bonds.
Yeah, that's and that was all U.S. dollar related last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say, I would ask that advisor to say, look, can we see what a realistic benchmark with the way the portfolio is, what's a benchmark we should be looking at? And let's look over the last few years and see how you did relative to that benchmark.
And the benchmark can't be 100% U.S. stock. And the benchmark needs to be.
But also, let me throw the challenge you've got right now. You've been with this advisor long term, and you said that you did relatively well during the downturn. Right.
Yeah, we didn't lose, which was good. We were very conservative. Yeah.
This is the challenge we're in when the U.S. stock market is going up and nothing else is, which is what we're at right now. It gets people like you to start kind of questioning your approach just from hearing things.
I'd leave it alone.
I think I probably would, too. Yeah.
You trust the advisor, right? You think the advisor is working in your best interest. The advisor admitted that you shouldn't be happy with the portfolio.
Correct.
Right? But the advisor didn't change course just because you're unhappy for this year, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we made adjustments, you know, based on some of the, you know, decisions that he believes were not the best direction, you know, which you have to do over the course of a year anyway.
Yeah.
I'd give him another year.
The danger is you don't want the you don't want the advisor to be chasing returns.
If he held that through in the last downturn, I think you need to be as concerned about return of your principal as you are return on that principal. If you had told me he'd lost a bunch of money for you during the downturn, I'd say you got to be shopping today. Our concern is that you go out shopping right now and someone's going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to transfer you over. You're going to be taking much more risk than you previously had. And you won't realize that until another downturn happens. We are way out of time. Appreciate you guys joining us. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11. Make sure you go visit moneymatters.com. If you haven't lately, you'll find it a great place there. Moneymatters.com. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.